Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior banker turned entrepreneur, Marcia Tal from New York, USA. Marcia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Marcia is the CEO of Tal Solutions, and she's helping people profit from the hidden value in data. She's the founder of Positivity Tech, and she spent 25 years with the Citigroup. So, Marcia, before we get into talking data, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Thank you. It has been a journey. And in fact, I love the word journey because I think we all, as people, follow a journey that evolves as we evolve. My journey began actually at Citi. Even prior to that, I studied mathematics and started working at Citi in risk management. Worked in risk management, introduced many capabilities that today are industry standards. One example of that might be the use of credit bureau information that today is an integral part of every credit decision, not that long ago, was not being used in the same way. And so we began to explore the opportunities that would come from that information. And that is my journey, which really actually is even similar to today, looking for unique new data sources that can be integrated with what it is that we do today to add value. So from Citi, and from risk management, I went into various types of marketing roles. I built various types of operation centers, for example, a retention center that at the time never had been put in place. Not only building the center, but building the criteria that meant that somebody actually should be serviced there. And then from there, built a brand new function, which was called decision management. I made up that name, which today is an industry standard in and upon itself. But I made up the name because what I wanted to do was integrate the discipline of decision sciences with the marketing management of the business. Because everything I understood in risk management and in marketing meant that every lever of a P&L could be thought about in a very numbers, discipline, predictive way. So the purpose of decision management was to get underneath that and look at the front end drivers of the business.
Fascinating.
I did that, started that in credit cards. As you know, credit cards is very much a probabilistic business. And so from there, brought it out at Citi to all lines of business, to most markets across the world. And by the time I had left, decision management was a major global function within the organization, and we were in about 30 markets across the world. When I left, I decided that I wanted to build my own company. I really had two purposes. One was to understand if all of the experience and knowledge that I had was applicable, how it was applicable to other organizations and other industries. So to do that, I decided I needed to do some consulting work. Since I had spent 25 years in one company, it's hard to know, is everything you know specific to that company, or is it specific to a broader range of industries? How do I figure that out? So I decided that I would do consulting, but actually my passion was to build my own technology platform, which we'll talk about later, that I named Positivity Tech.
Fascinating. So let's come to Tal Solutions or Tal Solutions. It's often said that data is the new oil. And at the same time, there's also a lot of conversation on there's so much data that it could be garbage in and garbage out. How does one determine what is the right kind of data and how does one draw lessons from it?
So I think this is a question that many ask. And oftentimes, I think the question can be rephrased, right? In the way of which, well, what does the business need? If it could be a business, it could be a healthcare, for example, but really, what is the need? What are we looking to solve? Or what opportunity are we looking to unleash? When we really understand what we're looking for, when we understand the levers that drive our P&L, that's when we start to look at the inventory and the wealth of all of the data that we have. We say, what can we use? Where can our minds take us? That's the art. That's the creativity. On the one hand, people think about this as science, right? It's in many ways, it's viewed as so technical, so scientific. But I think decades ago, I coined the term art and science because, and left, right brain, people talk about that. But at the end of the day, you can be so creative with the data when you know the goal of what it is you're trying to do. And just for example, you know, most institutions and most of us are exposed to so much data. You ask the question, how will we know what to choose? It's not just the data source. It's the variables inside and the combination of new variables that can be created across all of these data sources. That's where the golden, you know, the gold really is.
Amazing. But, you know, again, there is a lot of discussion that how does an organization understand what is the hidden value of their data and what are the associated privacy challenges associated with it?
So I think there's a couple of things, and in particular today, when there's so much awareness and sensitivity to topics such as data privacy, data security, data governance, and the way in which we approach our work. And I recently got an award, actually, for the work that I'm doing related to ESG, and in particular, the social, the social governance. And one might say to your question, about the hidden value of data, what does that have to do with social governance?
Correct.
But the reality is every decision that we make around the methods, the approach we're going to take with our data, the use of our data should be in the background, having that moral and ethical compass around someone is entrusting us with this information. We have a responsibility to protect it. But we also can think about what the data will be used for and make sure that we're being as disciplined and as protective as we can. Often I say that data governance is social governance. And I can give you one particular example to make that come alive. When we built Positivity Tech, we made a decision that we were not going to delete one complaint. And you can say, why? I made that decision because I felt that every voice had a purpose, and I was not the one to judge whether that was going to be deleted or not. That example, right, would show that the purpose of listening is really what drove the data decision. That was a socially driven purpose. So I hope that helps a bit with the with your question.
Absolutely, it does. And one more question before I move to Positivity Tech, which is that how can organization take smarter decisions once they understand the value of their data?
I think that they can take smarter decisions. We were talked a few minutes ago about this journey. It's really a business is a connection of dots, right? Businesses begin with sets of policies and procedures that impact every decision along the way. And it's not often that we go back through that journey to understand, right, what the implication is and what the interactions are for each of these points of connection. And such is it with the data. When the data flow is understood throughout the systems that we're using for particular purposes, then we can really be smart about what we do with our data. Then we can understand how we can deliver the type of profitable growth or the type of protection that we need to in being responsible leaders.
Fascinating. So, Marcia, let's now move to Positivity Tech. Tell me a little bit about this venture and your motivation to start it.
Absolutely. So when I left Citi, and you talk about motivation, right? I had a vision of what I wanted to do, as I had said earlier, about building my own technology platform and my own analytic tools. But really, I wanted to do this because I have, as you had said, I have a breadth of experience, you know, a set of knowledge, a network, and I wanted to figure out how to make an impact. I wanted to work collaboratively and also non-traditionally. And anybody that knows me knows that I usually don't follow a specific playbook, right? I'm driven by listening, by learning, challenging myself, challenging others around me, sometimes, you know, in very interesting ways, for people to think more broadly, for people to look at a situation with a lens that isn't narrow, but rather wide. And ultimately to figure out just how to get new things done. That's what I want to do. I just want to get things done that I think are going to drive an impact and are going to help people. At the same time, during my corporate career, I have five children. Mm-hmm. And during this journey, I found myself now in a stage of life where I actually could invest in myself, right? And so this motivation came from the fact that I have a lot to give, that I have a lot of knowledge, that I have passion, right? But also that I now can do that. And so that was really how and why the timing worked for starting Positivity Tech. My passion, as I had said earlier, is all about listening to what our customers are telling us. There is a wealth of information that can be unpacked from what customers say, from their stories, from their word choice, from their tone. However, the challenge really is that the way we're set up is that people are not set up to really listen to the whole story and then bring in that kind of information during the next conversation and the next conversation. So why aren't we linking all these conversations together? In the United States alone, there are about 100 billion conversations between institutions and their constituents.
Wow.
This is a scalable, really scalable opportunity. If you think about the trends that can be extracted by the fact that we link together all of these conversations, that's where the value again is, a new data source, thinking about them as data. So here I am trying to figure out, what do I do with all this? Where do I start? Okay, now it's not a whole corporation behind me. It's me.
Correct.
So I said, the first thing I have to do is I have to look as to where there are open data sources. And I decided to begin with complaints that went to US regulators. And I coined this term, high risk conversations. Figured out there's about 6 billion high risk conversations.
Amazing.
Just in the United States, where what the person is telling you, whether it's perceived from that person or it's reality, can present a risk to your business. That risk can be regulatory, reputational, it could be a credit risk, it could be a payment risk, it could be a P&L risk. The idea is that how can you detect these risks early? Maybe even so early that it's before that conversation even takes place. And that is what I was looking for, the opportunity to demonstrate that customer voices matter, that it's our job to listen, to integrate, to utilize that information, ultimately for the benefit of our customers, for the benefit of our business, and to protect ourselves. That's what Positivity Tech is all about.
Amazing, amazing. You know, and I've when I was at founded Guardian Pharmacy, which was a very large chain servicing a lot of customers, one thing I always said was that every single customer complaint I will answer personally. But I also used to talk about this, and I'd love to get your thought, that customers who take the trouble to file a complaint are customers who care for the brand. Otherwise, there are so many other opportunities. They can just walk away from your brand, go to someone else. I want to get your perspective on why should organizations take customer complaints seriously?
I think that's a great question. And I think that talks about, in many ways, the transformation, almost the cultural transformation that organizations and leadership need to think about around the word complaints. Complaints are just an opportunity, right? And they are showing us everything around our brand that can be improved. Mm. Yes, people can love many aspects of what we do, but where we'll really learn, where we'll really get better, is when we listen to friction points, to things that we can do better. And these are the ones that really demand our attention and our action. Could you imagine if you were sitting in a boardroom and the first page of the presentation was the absolute worst customer experience that took place from the last time you spoke, but that it was dissected, it was understood, it was brought with solutions, it was talked about as this is how we're going to get better. This is why we should care, because customer complaints are the intelligence we need to differentiate ourselves. Everything today is about a customer experience, a user experience. This is our differentiation. This is what everybody says. Mm-hmm. Yet there seems to be a void between being upfront and talking about complaints as the insights and the intelligence that's going to make us better.
Very interesting. And coming now to Positivity Tech, how do you support organizations to drive positivity and learning from customer complaints?
So let me give you an example. Part of Positivity Tech in its platform, right, is a visualization of everything that you can see from these extreme, let's call these high-risk complaints, right? Those in this case that might have gone to regulators. Okay. The institution needs to see this earlier. There needs to be detection. We have a lot of proprietary algorithms that help us, that help the institution do this. Early warning signals, triggers, algorithms that identify or distinguish between the severity of or the level of frustration of what a customer is experiencing. One such tool is the bias index. The bias index, and you know, it's very interesting because I always believed that customers were telling us how they felt. And if a customer was feeling discriminated against in any way, we should be able to pick that up, especially now with the focus so much on equity and inclusion and fairness and making sure that we're compliant with everything that we need to do, then a bias index, as an example, can really help you get ahead of some of these issues, right, that can bring a lot of risk to your business from an external as well as an internal standpoint.
Interesting. So time for two more questions, Marcia. My next question is on customer complaints. And I've argued this many times with people where they say, oh, we've got a customer complaints department. And I say, but customer complaints have to be handled by everyone down the line. Who should be accountable for customer complaints?
If that question would be so easily answered, then I think Positivity Tech would be moving right at the speed of light.
Absolutely.
Okay, because as you know, it's very hard, right, to identify who that organization or what which organization that is. I believe it starts with accountability at the most senior level.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, but the way that most organizations look at this today is from a compliance standpoint. Those that gain the most interest first are what we would call those that are accountable for the issues and the response and the ensuring safety and soundness of an organization. However, those organizations that I would say are a bit more, are broader, right, in their thinking, understand that it's really the business that should own these complaints, similar to the example that I said they should be seeking them, wanting to understand, because innate in the nature and the culture of the organization, it's always going to be about how are we better, right? How do we get better? But I don't think that this is a simple question to answer.
Well said. And my last question to you, Marcia, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your incredible journey with the Citigroup, as an entrepreneur in the world of mathematics, in the world of data analytics, in the world of customer experience, what would you say are three lessons or three learnings you want our viewers and listeners to take away?
So I think that the first thing is, and people have said this about me, about being tenacious. Persistence and determination are key to building anything.
Yeah.
Something from scratch, and it's every single day. Right? It's not giving up, it's finding a way. That's number one. Number two is you can start with a vision, but that's only the beginning because the journey keeps changing and your ability, your adaptability, your flexibility to listen and follow the direction in which the journey is going and respond appropriately and quickly. That's something I think that's important to take and pay attention to.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would say is that everything is harder and each step takes longer than you might have expected, right? However, your success is going to come through collaborations and partnerships and reaching out to people because it's rare that any person would say no. Right? It's really just about asking and having the confidence to ask those questions, to ask for input, to ask for help.
Well said. And on that note, Marcia, and your three amazing lessons, be tenacious, be persistent, and be determined to do what you are setting out to do. Vision is only the beginning. Respond quickly to the directions that you have decided you want to go in. And the third one is everything can take longer than expected. So build in that little resilience in yourself. Thank you so much for talking to me about your journey with Citi, about all your learnings with Citi. Thank you for talking to me about Tal Solutions, about what you're doing in Tal Solutions. Thank you for talking to me about Positivity Tech and all the amazing work that you are doing in the area of customer service, which is so, so, so critical for every single organization. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.